Justin Aker, Christina LaCure, Matty T as well. We go to the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline, and the most important piece of my college football preparation is Phil Steele's magazine. And I give him credit for most of the information that I gleaned from it. I should give him credit for all of it because, frankly, the amount of information that is jam-packed into that magazine every year is remarkable. I cannot wait to see the 2014 version, but I have not yet. But Phil is joining us here for a preview of his preview for the listeners. Phil, welcome back in the zone. How are you today?
Hey, I'm real good, Justin. How about yourself today?
I'm awesome. Thank you. Christina and I are sitting here. We're ready for college football. There's a natural progression.
More than. Yes. It felt like college football on Saturday morning.
Yeah, we've gotten some unseasonably cool temperatures here in Arkansas recently. But we get spring football, then we have the SEC Media Days, and now we get the preview magazines, and yours, of course, is the most important one to us as far as the national picture goes. So I have to ask my first question about the college football playoff. And when you are sitting down and predicting what's going to happen, how much did you tweak or did you adjust at all for a 14 playoff versus the BCS standings and the way the road to get to a national championship this year?
Yeah, I did not tweak it whatsoever. Basically, I do 9 sets of power ratings, play them into the schedule each year, and then look at the schedule, come up with win-loss totals, and I basically just put the top 4 teams at the top 4 of the mix, and then put 1 against 4, 2 against 3 in the playoffs. And naturally, in my scheme of things, with the power ratings and everything based in, it came up 1 versus 2 in the national title game. So let's hope we have something that works out sort of similar to that this year.
Some people are arguing that the SEC could have a tough road to get to the national championship game this year because there may be a little more parity. Of course, Alabama's replacing a quarterback, a ton of talent around him, though. In the East, it's somewhat wide open after you get past maybe South Carolina. I mean, Georgia's got a talented but, again, unproven quarterback. When you look at the SEC, do you expect a team to be in the Final Four or maybe even more than one team to be in the Final Four out of the SEC?
Yeah, I think it would be a major upset if an SEC team is not in the Final Four, given the SEC's track record, given the strength of the SEC, clearly the best conference in college football. I think it would be very tough to keep the league champ out of the actual Final Four playoffs. Now, as far as getting a second team in there, I actually give the SEC a decent shot, probably about a 25% shot of qualifying a second team. Give you a couple of scenarios. Let's say Georgia and Alabama play in the SEC title game. Whether Georgia has 0 losses or 1 loss, they upset Alabama. I remember 2 years ago they almost beat Alabama in the title game as it was, and Alabama comes into that game unbeaten. I think it'd be tough to take Alabama with 1 loss, even if you have the Big Ten champ with 1 loss or the Pac-12 champ with 1 loss. It'd be tough to keep Alabama out of the mix. And the same thing if Alabama and Auburn are both undefeated at the end of the season for the Iron Bowl matchup and Alabama squeaks by Auburn at home. I think it'd be tough to keep Auburn out of there. And if you compare them against all the other 1-loss teams in the country, I think Auburn would have the advantage. So I actually think there's a better chance of the SEC having 2 teams in the playoffs than there is of having 0 teams in the playoffs. I think it's going to end up at 1 this year, though.
All right. Phil Steele joining us in the zone on the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Alabama had a very fortunate end of the season for them. Not the very end, of course, because they came up a little bit short. Couldn't get the luck that had carried them to the national championship game in the national championship game. I'm expecting them to regress a little bit this year. I am in the minority in that regard. What are your thoughts on Auburn going into the season?
Well, you know, when I look at Auburn, I see a team this year that I would favor over last year's team. And the biggest difference, I think, between this year's team and last year's team, this year's team is going to have a much improved defensive front 7 led by that defensive line. The defensive line was extremely inexperienced last year. It showed. They gave up 4.6 yards per carry on the season. Their defensive line is loaded with what I call VHTs, or very highly touted players. As an example, a top 30 quarterback or a top 40 running back out of high school. So with an improved rush D, they also have a quarterback in Nick Marshall, who now has a full year under the system. He's the first returning starting quarterback under Malzahn. And, you know, last year he wasn't even on the team at this time. But with that said, the one place they're also much improved this year is in schedule strength. Not only do they draw the top 2 teams out of the East, South Carolina and Georgia, look at their road slate this year. 2 of the most improved teams in the SEC West and legitimate dark horse contenders in the West are Mississippi State and Mississippi. Auburn got both those guys at home last year, needed a last-second touchdown pass to get past Mississippi State, only beat Ole Miss by 8. Now they've got to go on the road and play those guys. Georgia and Alabama, They had the miracle play at the end of the game for a win over Georgia. Miracle play at the end of the game against Alabama. Now they got to play both those guys on the road. Don't forget about the road game at Kansas State. It's on a Thursday night. Bill Snyder, one of the best head coaches in the country. And those road games don't even include home games against LSU, South Carolina, Texas A&M. It's one of the most brutal schedules in the country. So while I think this year's team is a little bit stronger than last year's team, against that schedule and the fact they caught a lot of fortune last year, I don't think they match last year's outstanding 12 wins total.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I will assume you like Alabama to win the West this year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Alabama. A lot of folks have concern at quarterback. I don't have any concern at quarterback with Bama. You got Jacob Coker. He's 6'5", 235. He's a redshirt junior that gave Winston a run for his money. And as you know, the Alabama doesn't need their quarterback to go out there and throw for 4,000 yards for them to be successful. He's got my number one set of running backs in the country, number two set of receivers, number eight rated offensive line. The defense will be one of the best in the country. And while they do play LSU and Ole Miss on the road, and those games won't be easy, I think the Tide have the schedule to be favored in every single game this year. And I think coming off of two losses and the fact they're not number one coming into the season is a good thing. In the last 5 years, they've been number one in the preseason poll twice. Neither time did they win the national championship. They were not number one three times. All three times Nick Saban took home the national title. It's not time to take Alabama and blow everything up because they're off a two-game losing streak.
Yeah.
I think Alabama rebounds, wins the SEC, and you'll see them playing in the national title game.
I think that's probably a safe bet. And as Nick Saban enjoyed pointing out last week, the media has been right. 4 of 22, I think they got right as far as predicting the preseason national champ or preseason SEC champion. So we'll see if that trend continues because Alabama is certainly very highly thought of by the media, and understandably so. On the flip side, of course, you've got Arkansas, which is not very highly thought of, picked last in the West. In fact, they got the fewest votes by the media at SEC Media Days going into this season. Do you think they are the worst team in the West this season? And if so, what kind of win total would you expect for Arkansas this year?
Well, you know, I went over the team with Coach Bielema and came out of the call impressed. I think they've got good talent, good depth. There's a reason they're picked last in the SEC West, and it's really a couple of factors. First of all, you're taking a look at a team that was just 3-9 last year, and you're also talking about the toughest schedule in the SEC. They're the only team in the SEC that takes on 8 bowl teams from last year. So every other SEC team, Missouri, for example, takes on 5 SEC bowl teams from last year. The Hogs have to play 8. If you look at their schedule, they're probably going to be an underdog in 9 of their 12 games this year. Now, does that mean they're going to lose all those games? No. In fact, there's 7 of those 9. I have them less than a touchdown underdog, which means I think they will steal some games. And here's why I like the Hogs this year. First of all, last year they were getting blown out of the water, but they took on the 5-game gauntlet. I mean, you looked at the start of the year, you thought it was a 4-game gauntlet. Texas A&M, Florida, South Carolina, and Alabama were all in the preseason top 10. They had to play them in 4 consecutive weeks. And then it turns into Auburn the very next week, a team that played the national title game. So I think a lot of teams in the country would have actually dropped all 5 of those games. I like the way Arkansas played down the stretch last year. They very nearly knocked off Mississippi State, if not for a fumble deep in Bulldog territory. They led LSU in Death Valley as a 4-touchdown underdog in the fourth quarter. Now, Arkansas last year bit the bullet a little bit. Bielema came in, inserted a couple of true freshmen in the offensive line. As you know, they were more of a pass-blocking offensive line prior to Bielema. He put in his true freshmen in Denver Kirkland, Dan Skipper. They started the last 8 games, and we saw improvement on the line throughout. Brandon Allen, their starting quarterback, had a shoulder injury. Couldn't even practice the first 6 weeks of the season. I think he'll be one of the more improved QBs in the NCAA. Jonathan Williams, Alex Collins, and don't forget about Corliss Marshall. That's one of the best trios of running backs in the country. And the defense can only be better after last year. They do have 7 starters back there. So as mentioned, while they will be an underdog in 9 games this year, I think they steal a couple of them. And I'm actually going to write an article for ESPN Insider in August after I talk to all the coaches about here's some teams I didn't put on my most improved list that maybe I would have. And I think Arkansas has got a good chance of getting there this year. So I'm bullish on Arkansas, and I think they're a year away from really contending in the very deep West, but I put them right up there as having a chance to get to that 6-win total.
So you think they can? Okay, potentially, yeah. I mean, certainly we would expect, I guess the way we're looking at it is they've got 3 fairly easy, by the number at least, when you look at what the spread's going to be, non-conference games. Hoping for a split between the 2 Texas schools, 1 conference, 1 non-conference, and then the Mississippi schools, if you can somehow earn a split there. And you got to figure out how to win one more along the way. So it's going to be interesting, but I think it's certainly doable. And as you pointed out too, Phil, I mean, this is a team that was certainly undermanned last year, and your best quarterback was not healthy for most of the season. And either he didn't play or wasn't up to 100% for most of the year. And like you said, you're in the LSU game. You could have won the Mississippi State game pretty easily. You had another shot in another couple games. So, I mean, the fact that they were competitive with all the handicaps, I mean, it was pretty impressive, I thought.
Yeah, their first four games in SEC play, not so competitive. They were getting beat by 32.3 points per game. But interestingly, their final four games in the SEC, they only lost by 9.8 points per game, and they got closer each time. So that, to me, when you have that kind of momentum heading into the season, it's a good sign.
Phil Steele joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline again. His book is the book. If you don't read it every year, you should if you were a college football fan. And I don't know how much time you guys spend, but the tidbits you have in there, just a little small print stuff that isn't even the main focus of it. There's so many great little tidbits in there, and I hope people pick up on all that when they look through, whether it's Arkansas or whatever team they're looking at. Over in the East, we have an interesting race as well. South Carolina, by most people's guess, is going to be the winner over there. But you've got a Georgia team that's very talented, maybe the best running back in the league on their roster. Hudson Mason is a highly thought-of quarterback, a guy we got to see a little bit of because of injury. Matty Mock in the same situation in Missouri. You saw him last year because of the injuries to Franklin. What's your expectation there over in the East?
You know, I'm going to call the East a three-team race. And unfortunately for Missouri fans, I'm not putting the Tigers in the three. They only have 8 returning starters this year, lose a lot of talent. They do play a schedule that might keep them in the race, but I've got the three best teams over there are the usual three, and that is Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida. I'll start with Florida, who I have third. You know, Florida's a team that was just 4-8 last year, but they also were a team that had 8 different starters go down during the course of the season to injury and were out for the year. Well, they get the bulk of those starters back this year, especially on defense, and 8 starters return on the defensive side of the ball. I think they have a legitimate top 10, top 5 defense. Now, if you follow Florida the last couple of years, you know that wasn't really a question coming into the season. Question is offensively, but Kurt Roper steps into a great situation. They've underachieved the last couple of years, average around 3 touchdowns per game. And last year, they went through 3 different starting quarterbacks. Either Skylar Morningweg, nobody expected him to play last year. He ended up getting 3 starts at the end of the year due to injuries. They went through a myriad of running backs as their top guys were all banged up during the year and really struggled offensively. This year, Roper is going to move him into the shotgun. I think Jeff Driscoll is a better quarterback out of the shotgun. If the running backs stay healthy, especially Kevin Taylor, they've got a dynamic running back combo. And watch DeMarcus Robinson. I think he's going to team with Quentin Dunbar and give them a couple of receiving threats, something they haven't had. They also, while they do draw Alabama and LSU out of the West, get South Carolina at home, get Georgia to neutral site. They only have 3 SEC true road games. One's at Tennessee, one's Vanderbilt. I give them a shot at contending in the East. Now, South Carolina is a team which, I'm going to make a little bit of a surprising statement here. They lose Clowney, they lose Sutton, and they lose Quarles off the defensive front 7. So you think, whoa, is South Carolina's defense. But I'm actually going to say they allow less yards per game rushing, a better YPC defensively, and get more sacks than they did last year. Mm. And the reason for that is twofold. Number one, last year's numbers weren't great. Their defense actually had their worst numbers in all 3 categories since 2007. I think they can improve that way. And last year they were young on defense. They only had 2 starters in the defensive front 7. This year with a veteran linebacking core, they actually have 4 starters back in the defensive front 7. So I think they'll be stronger. They've got Dylan Thompson. They got Mike Davis, who could lead the SEC in rushing. I think when you look at South Carolina, this is Spurrier's best chance of actually getting to and perhaps even winning the SEC title. But I went with Georgia. And Georgia's coming off a 5-loss season. But you looked at them defensively last year and you said, whoa, these guys are going to struggle. They only had 3 starters back on the defensive side. They allowed 29 points per game on defense, their worst in quite some time. Well, they bring in Jeremy Pruitt as the defensive coordinator. They've got 8 starters back on defense, led by my number 1 linebacking core in the country. I think they'll have one of the most improved defenses in the country. And offensively, you know why they lost 5 games. They lost their top 2 wide receivers early in the season to injury. Both were out for the year. They lost Gurley for about 3 starts. They lost Keith Marshall for the bulk of the season. Their quarterback, Aaron Murray, missed the last 2.5 starts. They've got my number 2 running back core in the country. Those receivers are all back. And Hudson Mason gained 2.5 games of valuable experience. Mm-hmm. Now, I have them an underdog at South Carolina, but it's a slight underdog. I think Georgia's got a shot at potentially even being a national championship in the national championship mix. They are my number one surprise team in the country this year, and my number one surprise team is always a team I think that won't be in the top 10 that has a shot of winning the national title. Last year, that team was Florida State, and that one didn't turn out too bad.
Yeah, I would say that's a safe bet. Outside of the teams you mentioned there, and back to Missouri for a moment, that October 18th game, Florida gets Missouri at home, and if there's a team that is vying to get in that third position, that may be a very key game there, certainly. But and Florida will be coming off a home game against LSU also, so they have an interesting schedule. We'll see if they're ready to rise up. I'm with you, though. We got a chance to meet Kurt Roper last year. He was in town for the Bros Award, and he's an impressive guy who's got SEC experience, did a great job with Duke. So I will anticipate if they can stay healthy, they will be vastly better offensively. I'll be shocked if they aren't. Now, outside the SEC, what teams do you have your eye on to contend in a big way for the national championship?
Well, I'm going to say if you go to the Big Ten this year, and November 8th is an important date in college football this year. Alabama's traveling to face LSU. Ohio State's traveling to face Michigan State. Baylor's traveling to face Texas. So November 8th, don't make any other plans. Just plan on being glued to the TV all day long. But that November 8th game, I think, determines who comes out of the Big Ten this year. It's Ohio State in East Lansing against Michigan State. The Spartans' defense will be very, very good this year. Won't be great like it was last year. I thought last year's defense was phenomenal. But still, they're going to be a top 15 defense. And offensively, they've got Cook back. They've got their running back Langford back. They're going to be solid. I still went with Ohio State, though, to win the Big Ten. I think they got the best compilation of talent there. You go out west, I think it comes down to UCLA against Oregon. And UCLA gets that big matchup against Oregon at home. But Oregon got a little break in the fact that the Pac-12 decided this year to go to a neutral site. Their Pac-12 title game is now in San Francisco, as opposed to at the site of the team with the better record. So as opposed to having to go and face UCLA twice on the road, they only play them once on the road this year. They just may knock each other out of the race. The Pac-12 is the second-best conference in college football. Going back to November 8th, Baylor at Oklahoma. Baylor whipped Oklahoma last year. Petty's back at QB. They got my number one set of receivers in the country. They're capable of going on the road and beating Oklahoma, but this is a very talented Oklahoma team, one that ranks in my top units in all eight position categories. And after talking to Coach Stoops this summer, they're even a little bit deeper than I thought they were coming into the year. That's the key game determining the Big 12. And for the ACC, oh, let me just throw it out there. I'm going to go with Florida State, really out on a limb there.
What about from a Heisman standpoint? It would be only the second time ever, but I guess going into the season, Winston would have to be the favorite, right?
Yeah, Winston's a preseason favorite, but I didn't pick him in the magazine. And,
okay.
And you got two things going against you, three things, actually. Number one, only one Heisman champ has ever repeated in Archie Griffin. Number two, teams gear up for the Heisman champ. They're going to play their A++ game on defense. Everybody's going to be excited about taking out Winston and show what they can do against last year's Heisman Trophy winner. And the third thing going against him is he's got to do better than what he did last year, or voters will say, oh, he had an off year. So, I mean, he threw for over 4,000 yards. Ran for a ton, scored a ton of touchdowns, led his team to an unbeaten record, led his team to double-digit road wins over ranked teams on the road, marquee games. If he does anything less than that, Heisman voters will say, I have had an off year this year. I'm going to vote for somebody else. So I went with Marcus Mariota of Oregon.
Okay.
You know, last year at the start of November, Mariota was number one in the Heisman race. Then he got injured. Oregon's offense dropped off a little bit. They actually lost a couple of games last year. But if he stayed healthy, he might have won the Heisman last year. He and Winston are top two quarterbacks for next year's draft. I think if you look at Oregon this year, might have the highest flying offense in college football.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with Mariota to win the Heisman. But if you would have just picked the field or the ones that aren't the favorites for the Heisman Trophy title, you'd have three wins in the last 4 years because they've really been some off-the-radar guys.
Phil, one last question here, and it's a little smaller conference, and that's Arkansas State playing in the Sun Belt, and I didn't preview that I was going to ask about this, but I'm sure you're up to date on what's going on there, but over the weekend, I have to ask because of this, they were picked second behind Louisiana Lafayette, which was not a big surprise considering what Louisiana Lafayette is coming back. Fifth coach in 5 years. It is the strangest thing. We'll probably never see it ever again in college football, at least not in the state of Arkansas. I know most people are hoping. But Blake Anderson poised to, we think, inherit enough talent to vie for a conference title. What's your expectation with Arkansas State under Blake Anderson, and do you think they have a shot to win the Sun Belt?
Yeah, and I knew when I wrote the magazine that every single magazine in the country and everyone would favor Louisiana to win. They were the unanimous choice to win the SBC this year, and I know why. I think Arkansas State's top two competitors in the Sun Belt are ULM and South Alabama this year. Joey Jones did a good job building South Alabama, and ULM has not caught a lot of break injury-wise the last 2 years. But ULM's changing its home turf this year.
Okay.
I think that's going to cut down on the injuries, maybe keep them a little bit healthier. I've seen a lot of teams make that change. If they're playing on a poor surface at home, make the change. They do remain a lot healthier and usually have an upgrade. I think it's almost impossible for a to go through five head coaches in 5 years like that, but Arkansas State has been the master of it. They just keep getting it done each and every year. I think Blake, they might be safe this year. Blake Manderson should do a good job, but I think they got some things from him saying that he's not going to take off and leave for another spot. When you look at their schedule, they do have to play Louisiana on the road, but they get South Alabama at home. They get ULM at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see them favored in 7 of the 8 games in Sun Belt play. And, yeah, you have to consider him a legitimate contender despite the massive turnover at the head coaching spot in the most recent years.
Phil, great stuff. I appreciate it as always. Again, I can't say enough good things about the magazine. Always look forward to it. I know all my buddies who are college football fans look forward to it as well. So appreciate all your hard work and the work of your staff putting all that together. It's certainly great stuff.
And I noticed you have a pro football preview, and that is what I am going to be all about due to the fact that you do Fantasy Football Guide.
Well, I appreciate
that, Downloading
it
today, $9.99. Yeah. On his website right
Christina here. Wants to pitch the Pro Football Magazine for you, I think. So
I can do
I
it easy.
That,
I love
Christina.
It.
Yeah,
I just,
you know what?
I was like, why are we talking college? He has a pro football preview. What is up?
There you go. And that just came out today, Christina. So you'd be one of the first ones to download
there
it.
We go.
Just put it up like
he didn't
an
pay
hour
me
ago.
A penny. I promise you, folks. I promise you. I was just looking on his Twitter while we were talking. Saw the Pro Football Guide. I'm all about it.
All right.
I appreciate that. And I got to tell you, it was great talking football with you guys today. A lot of fun.
Phil, always thanks, enjoy Phil. It. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Phil Steele. There you go. I got to throw that in there.
And I wasn't. That
oh,
wasn't
great.
A
now
plug.
I got to read all that, too.
That wasn't a plug. It was just, I was reading it while
well,
you were talking college.
It was a plug. You just didn't get paid for it.
I didn't get paid for it.
You're
dang
doing
it
wrong.
Phil, I know. Dang it.
The Boathouse. I'll show you my.
At CenterPoint Energy, we're giving you more savings with safe, clean, natural gas.